So welcome everyone to the gathering. We're glad you're here, and we're going to jump into the lesson. And as we jump in, I want to just lead in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your love that draws us day by day. And I thank you that you're a God of peace and that you have ordained peace for us to walk in. Lord, you want to establish it in each of our hearts and our lives. And so I just pray for just ears to hear what you're saying, Lord, for each person that's listening tonight live and by podcast, that, Lord, we would hear your voice and that we would walk in a greater depth of your peace, Lord, not just for our sakes and our family, but for those that are around us, and that we would be just like you, Lord, that we would give the peace that we have established in our hearts away to those that need it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, since it's right before Valentine's Day, I want to talk a little bit about our heart, because it's a time of year when we talk about love, when we celebrate. And I know that one of the things we can celebrate, because everyone may not have a spouse or a significant other in their life, but one of the things we can always celebrate is God's love for us and the depth of that love, because the truth is, each and every one of you are dearly loved by God. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about taking care of our heart, because not our physical heart. There are many qualified people here tonight that would be more qualified at that, our physical heart, but our inner man. And one of the things I've discovered is when I walk in peace, that's taking care of my heart. My body is more relaxed, and that does affect, I believe, our natural heart. And we're going to discover and explore how peace is a powerful weapon that each one of us can use in our lives. And when it's established, we get to give it to those that are around us. We live in a very stressful time. There's financial stress, there's work deadlines, challenges with bosses, there's the coronavirus. I mean, goodness, that was up to, 40,000 yesterday? I didn't even listen to the news today. What is it? Is it higher? I don't even know. Bombings, family drama. There's all sorts of things that can rob us of our peace. Caregiving for sick loved ones. You know, I got a call today. I'm trying to get to the printer to get the lesson done, and I got a call because I oversee care for my father-in-law, and there was a situation I had to deal with right then and there, which put a little pressure, you know, because I was trying to walk out the door. But there's all sorts of things, and the list can go on, that can try to rob us on a daily basis of our peace. But the good news is none of this surprises Jesus. He knew this was going to happen. And he knew that life on earth was going to have trouble in it. And he provided for us. Isn't that cool? Do you know that God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't provide for us? He doesn't ever ask us to do anything that he hasn't provided a way for us to do it. And what I mean is in John 16, 32 and 33, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, I'm about to go. You're going to be scattered. He was trying to forewarn them that some stuff was about to happen. And he says, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. See, Jesus knew who he was, and he knew who God was, and that God is always with us, and we're never alone. And then he says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. in the world, you will have trouble. I mean, right then and there, he spells it out. You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some adversity. You're going to have some hurdles you're going to have to go over. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And the word overcome means to get the better of the situation. I've been in a lot of diverse situations. Some of them I'm going to share tonight. But one of the things and one of my constant prayers is, Lord, I know you're a God of redemption. I know you're going to work this out for my good. And I know that you're going to help me overcome whatever that obstacle is, whether it's a person or a situation or a crisis or, you know, something little. See, practicing our peace is a powerful weapon in life's big situations that are stressful as well as the little ones. And that's your first fill in the blank on your notes. Practicing our peace is a powerful weapon. Powerful weapon goes in that blank. In life's big and little stressful situations. And so before we talk about establishing peace, I want to lay a little foundation about what peace is. And there is a podcast I taught on this last year, and it's called Walking in Peace. So you might jot that down. If tonight's lesson resonates with you and you want to hear more, check out the podcast Walking in Peace. Establish. So establish means to set up a system or organization on a firm or permanent basis. To set up a system or organization on a firm or permanent basis. You know, you've gone to restaurants and businesses that have over their sign, it says, established in 1978 or 1956 or... You know, I was in Annapolis, Maryland one time. It's like established in 16, whatever. I can't even remember the number, but I was like, now that's old. Texas is not that old. It's far away. But established means a permanent basis. And tonight, I want you to walk away with God's heart is that peace is established in my heart. It's a firm, permanent thing. I used to run around stressed out, uptight, and I thought that was perfectly normal. I thought it was okay because I had all these stressful, difficult things I was dealing with until the Lord showed me, that's not my heart for you. I know that may sound funny, but it really, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm being honest. I did not know. I thought peace, when somebody said, you know, peace on earth, I thought it was, you know, back from the 60s. It was a peace sign, you know. I didn't know. But we have a God-given right to establish peace, and that is God's heart for us. I'm going to give you a scripture in just a second. The definition of peace, we talked about the word establish. But the definition of peace in the Old Testament, if you look up that word, it means to prosper, to rest, to be safe in mind or body, or to make restitution. Prosper, rest, be safe in mind or body, and make restitution. And I thought it was real interesting when I looked up that word in the New Testament. It means quietness and rest. And that doesn't mean quiet where we can't hear. It means quiet in our heart. When our heart is at rest, it's going to be much easier to make sound decisions when your heart is at rest in peace than when you feel pressured. And so what we're looking at is establishing peace and practicing, because that experience makes you rich. You know, experience is what you get when you don't always get what you want. Has anybody ever not gotten what you want? But guess what? You get some experience and you learn something. You learn something. Hopefully. And what we want to talk about is establishing peace in our lives to weave it in to the tapestry of our life. And like I said, I used to walk around stressed out, and I really don't do that anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I don't get jolted and I have to, but I've learned to quickly bring myself back to a place of peace, because being stressed out will wear you out physically, mentally, emotionally, and it zaps your energy. And then I know in my life, I haven't always made sound, wise decisions when I feel pressured in that. So let me show you Isaiah 26:12. If you've got your Bible, I want to read this to you because it's so cool. It says, "Lord, you establish peace for us." Isn't that so cool? It's right there in the Bible. "Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us." See, he wants peace to be predominant in our life. And when God showed me one day, he said, "You have a God-given right. It's your birthright because you're my daughter. You have a God-given right to walk in peace in every situation you face." And I was like, "That's my right? Wow." You know, we talk as Americans about exercising our rights, you know, about doing this, and we have a right for this. You have a God-given right to walk in peace in whatever it is that you're going through. And the other thing about peace is evidence. It's evidence of walking with the Lord. It says in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law." Those are legal behaviors. All of those things are legal behaviors for us as believers, and they're God's heart for us, that we walk in them. They're evidence that we're walking with God when we tap into that peace. See, God is peaceful. It's part of his character. It's part of who he is. And we are made in his image. So guess what? It's in our DNA too. It's in our DNA. And his peace is in us. We just have to learn how to use it and call it up in situations. God first began to, when the light bulb went on and I began to see that I had a God-given right, he first began to teach me about peace when my mom got sick. Some of you know my mom, and she was a 5'2" little fireball, led lots of children to the Lord in Kerr County. She was just, you know, adorable, and she got a rare autoimmune disease, and it settled in her brain. And it took us a while to figure this out. But where I first began to learn to walk in peace, and it was my practice ground, was literally in the halls of the hospital. And I remember when she first got sick and I was getting this news, like the damage is irreversible to her brain. And I'm like, I had no comprehension. It was like, what? No, this can't be. And, you know, my stomach was churning and, you know, there was so much going on. And that was when I began to meet the Prince of Peace, and I began to see that God sent Jesus. Part of his job description, if you read in Isaiah, I'm going to have to look, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, is it says, "Unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And that jumped out for me. That was my aha moment. That was my takeaway when I read that scripture, was the Prince of Peace. And the Lord said to me, let me escort you down the halls of the hospital. And I just had flashbacks of going to, you know, prom and different things I've been to, and just how special it is when you have someone to escort you somewhere. And I was like, you know, an escort kind of takes care of things. Good ones, anyway. And I just had this visual picture of just taking Jesus' hand and walking with him. And so it's in a lot of times our adversity that we get those opportunities to practice. Practice. You know, mom was sick. I also had my oldest son that had just graduated from the Naval Academy, went straight to war. He went to the Persian Gulf and was out there. Now, I don't think many mamas, when they're holding that precious baby, think, gee, I want you to go to war. I know this one didn't, for sure. But I had that. I had my daughter in college. I had a high schooler, or junior high. I still had some child rearing for my youngest one. I was a busy mom, was working, and then all of this is going on with my mother. And the news wasn't good. But those were my training grounds to begin to practice my peace and to begin to walk with God and develop a lifestyle of peace. Romans 14 and 17 tells us, it says, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, that's where we can find, it's in the Holy Spirit, it's when life begins to kind of crumble, that we can, you know, we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we can say, okay, Lord, everything's crazy going on around me, but you're with me, and your Holy Spirit's with me. Those things are all going to be in heaven, but until that time, Earth is our training ground to practice our peace, to practice it. You know, God put peace in us, and the Prince of Peace, when we invite Christ into our hearts, the Prince of Peace lives in us. So it's there. I found that oftentimes people, we're so used to stress and chaos in life that we legalize it and think it's okay. And yet that's not God's heart. Now, do stressful things happen? I know I've got plenty of them going on right now in my life, but I also have a God-given right to walk in peace if that's what I choose to do. See, peace is like a compass. You know, a compass, you've even got one on your cell phone. Did you know that? I found that out not too long ago. But you've got a compass, and that compass shows you the direction to go. It can show you the direction, and that's the way peace is. Because when we're walking in peace, our decision-making is going to be a whole lot better. One of the things I learned as a young adult was, did any of you ever have, like, vacuum cleaner salesmen? And young people, I know you're going to think that's crazy, but really people used to come door to door and knock and try to sell you a vacuum cleaner. And, you know, they put pressure on you if you buy, or encyclopedias, you know, those are the thing. And still today, salesmen can put pressure on you to buy things. And one of the things that my husband and I did was we just began to, because we got trapped by some of those salesmen. We learned that if we felt pressure, to take a step back. Because God is not someone that is, he's a gentleman. He doesn't put pressure and stress on us. And one of the things, so we learned as we began as a young couple and managing our budget and, you know, going paycheck to paycheck, we learned too, if we felt pressure, that was kind of like a red flag. We needed to step back. We needed to step back because the pressure wasn't usually God's heart for us and could get us in trouble. The good news about peace is it subdues chaos. It subdues chaos. And so what are some things that rob us of peace? As I was developing this lesson, I sat down and I was like, okay, what are the things that have robbed me of peace in my life? And one of the things I found was being too busy. Sometimes we have to say no. And I know that sometimes when I get too much on my plate, then that can just cause a little anxiety in my heart. How am I going to get this done? What happened? How am I going to do that? Now, sometimes things are unfortunate that happen. I shared previously about how my father-in-law was hospitalized right after the first of the year, and I'm trying to kick off the gathering, and I have a book at the editor, and I've got deadlines with that, and I'm having to go to physical therapy right now, and that's, you know, three times a week, an hour and a half. And so, you know, there's just things that are going on. Oh, yeah, and I've got water mitigation and construction going on in my home still. Yeah, found out today the Saltillo tile is coming up. So anyway, but being too busy, and sometimes there's pressures that we just can't avoid. It's just part of it. But there are some things. I did have a phone call. Hey, Kathleen, we'd like to hire you to do this. Will you do it? And even though it was something I wanted to do, I said, I would love to, but I'm going to have to say no this time. Call me again. I've got to say no because this is a priority for me. You know, performance, that's another thing that can rob us of peace and leads to doing too much. Performance, feeling like we've got to make people happy. People, sometimes we can spin our wheels so much. I remember one time there was somebody that came to our church and he was praying for me and he said, just be yourself. He said, you used to work so hard to please everybody. And God says, just be yourself. You're perfect the way you are. And it was a real eye-opener to me that I really had gotten into a performance-oriented lifestyle. And we can easily do that, especially in our society. I feel like it's real easy to get performance. And the Lord's just saying, be yourself. Do what I've called you to do. Is this your God-given responsibility? And those are some good checkpoints. Another thing I found that robs me of peace is conflict. I don't like conflict. But guess what? Sometimes we have to deal with things. But conflict, disagreement with a spouse, with a friend, with a worker, you know, your boss or whatever, those things, if we're not careful and if we don't step back into our peace, can rob us of peace. Have you ever had it and your mind goes over and over, well, I should have done this or I could have done that or why didn't I do this or why on earth did they say that? You know, and that can get your mind kind of going. And I've learned, you know, to just step back. Okay, Lord, what do you have to say about this situation? What do you want me to do in this? The next thing is criticism. Any of you have ever been, that can rob me of peace. And I've seen that happen. And, you know, if you've ever been in a situation, maybe you've been unjustly accused of something. Or somebody's critical of you. One of the things I've learned is to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, what degree of truth is this? You know, this person said X, Y, and Z. Lord, show me truth. What's your truth? What percentage? Do I do this all the time or some of the time? Or Lord, what is this? Open my eyes to see. And so I challenge you, if you have somebody criticize you or give you some criticism that you're like, well, I don't do that, just take it to the Lord and ask him. And he's so kind, he'll really show you. Yeah, sometimes he said, yeah, Kathleen, you really need to work on that. And other times he said, yeah, 10% of the time. You know, I'm like, oh, good. I'm glad it's not always. Crisis situations. like I said, crisis happens. People get sick. We get, you know, news we don't want, cancer, that sort of thing. There are crises, and there are things that we just have to step up to the plate. But we must always remember that Jesus came so that we could have peace. Another thing I discovered is when I step out of my identity, when I step out of that place of being a much loved child of God, when I forget who I am, we had a lesson on identity, the first lesson of this series. And when I step out and I forget that I'm a much loved child, that God is right there with me, and when I look at things with my natural eyes versus saying, okay, Lord, help me to see how you see this situation. When I step out of those things and try to deal with it on my own self and my own energy and my own intelligence, I don't do as well as when I step back and lean on him. You know, after I lost my late husband, there were so many things I was having to deal with, things I'd not really had to deal with before. They were like in his sphere of authority. They were what he handled and what he did. And all of a sudden, I had all these things I was having to do. And maybe you found yourself, all of a sudden, you're single because of losing a spouse or divorce or whatever, and you're having to do things that you haven't had to do. There are those things for me when I would step back and say, okay, Lord, how do you see this situation? I don't know what to do. Just lead me step by step. And I learned to let peace be that compass. And I'd take one step and then I would take another. And whatever it was I was having to figure out or deal with. Unconfessed sin. We need to keep short accounts. If you mess up, you need to be quick to confess that to the Lord. If necessary, ask someone to forgive you, but you also need to be quick to forgive yourself. Sometimes when we mess up and we don't like it, you know, we can beat ourselves up. And God's heart is that we bring it to him and we give it to him. Or if we mess up, Lord, I messed up. I need you to, I was short-tempered. I chopped that person's head off and I didn't mean to. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I choose to forgive myself. Because if not, it can rob you of your peace. I think sometimes we don't treat peace like a robber. We had at one point years ago, we had somebody come into our house. This was a little scary. We were in the living room and someone came in our back door and my purse was sitting up there. And they got into my purse, took the cash, that's all they took, but they left. And we filed a police report because I had a business at the time and I had brought the cash home from the business because I was going to go to the bank. So I knew that $300 was gone. And we have a friend that was a detective and he later, when they caught the guy, you know, I said, now tell me about when you robbed this house. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I walked in the back door. I could hear him in there talking and watching TV. You know, that can rob you of your peace. But we filed a police report. Now, why don't we do that when the enemy tries to rob us of peace? You know, it's almost like we have to say, no, wait a minute. Just like I have a God-given right to protect my house and file a police report, you have a God-given right to walk in peace in your life. So what are some things that help us establish peace, to make it a permanent fixture? Well, here are some things that I have found that have been helpful to me. Number one is each day to give my life, my day, and my plans to God. And ask him to order my steps. Give your life, your day, your plans to God. How many of you have ever had a plan and it didn't really work out the way you intended. Anybody here but me? Okay. You know, life happens, but when we give our life and our day, our life, our plans to the Lord and ask Him to order our steps, that way when there's those interruptions, we're not dismayed. We can rest in that that's what He has for us. We can rest in that peace that's there. And I live by a to-do list. It's like I have to keep myself organized because I've got my hand in diverse different things. And so if I think of something, I've already got stuff on tomorrow that I need to deal with tomorrow that I couldn't get to today. But I've also learned to say, Lord, give me divine appointments. And I know that I left here the gym yesterday and I was going to go do my bike riding at physical therapy. And somehow I ended up in the gym sitting on a bicycle and it was sat next to a lady that we began talking and, you know, was able to tell her about the gathering. And I knew that was a divine appointment. And she concurred with that it was. And so it was a great thing, even though I had my plan. You know, isn't that cool? So when you give your day to the Lord and then there's those interruptions, I may not get everything checked off my list. But man, it's awesome when we have those divine appointments that God puts in our place. Because life isn't always about us and our checking off our to-do list. He cares about others and those around us. So, giving your day to the Lord. Isaiah, we already talked about Isaiah 26:12. Lord, you establish peace for us. And all that we accomplish, you have done for us. Anything we get done in a day, there's some days I never get anything checked off my list. But you know what? I can look back and see God's hand on it. And that brings me peace. Number two, the second thing I found that helps me establish peace is to solidify in my heart that I have a God-given right to walk in peace. If you don't leave with any other tidbit tonight, leave with the fact that you have a God-given right to walk in peace in every situation. You know, we have to, when times come and that news is hard. I know when my late husband and I were at MD Anderson and we went in, all we were told here in Kerrville is he just needs to go to MD Anderson and we need them to, it's a very rare cancer. They can help you and he needs to have surgery to get this tumor out. And so we packed our bags and we were off. And when we sat there, and I didn't know much at all about cancer, but I just said, excuse me, after the doctor had finished talking, and he said, you know, really, the tumor's way too big for us to do surgery, so we're not going to do surgery. You're going to need to go see different oncologists to get the tumor down, and then you can come back to me and see. And I was like, okay. And I said, well, now, like, what stage are we? I know there's stages in cancer. I don't even know how many. And he said, well, there's four stages, and you're advanced stage three, but we're going to treat it as curative. And I'm sure I had that deer in a headlight look on my face because my mind was trying to wrap my head around the news I had just heard. It was just beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my comprehension. And I thought, okay, this is a great time to practice my peace because I just felt like somebody had hit me in the guts. And, you know, my husband was there and he was trying to wrap his head around it. It was him. And I remember walking down the hall and I said, just a second, I need to go to the bathroom. And I walked into that bathroom. And I don't think anybody was there, but I looked at myself in the mirror and I pointed to myself and I said, you will walk in peace. You have a God-given right, Kathleen, and don't you forget it. There are times we have to preach to ourselves. There are times we don't always have our best friend or our pastor right there with us. But we always have a God-given right to walk in peace. Because peace is Jesus' gift to us. And I'll tell you how I know that. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus talking. "My peace I give to you." He just didn't give us any peace. He gave us his peace because he knew we were going to need it. And he says, "I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace I leave with you. It's like, here it is. Peace I give to you. You know, when you get a present, you have a choice to open it up and use it or not. Terry gave me this mug for my birthday. Isn't it cool? And I put my water in it. I carry it with me a lot. I use it. Now, I could have left it in the pretty package and set it back and never opened it and never used it. That's the way peace is. Peace is a gift that Jesus gives to you, to me. He gives it to us, and we can open it and use it or not. So, when you have stressful things happen, when things don't go as you plan, when your heart starts to race, stop. Wait a minute. Remind yourself, God's heart is for me to walk in peace. And declare it and speak it out, because it's right there in the Bible. It's right there. That's part of his plan for us. We just have to practice it. And you might walk out of here and get all in a tizzy about whatever's going on. That's okay. Get up tomorrow and start afresh, walking in your peace. It's a discipline. And no matter what's going on around you, God is right there with you. It says that in Psalm 73:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "Nevertheless, I will be with you. I hold you by the right hand." And I can't tell you how many times in the halls of hospitals, I had to literally, I'm a visual, literal kind of person, and I had to picture, I would walk around and I would have my hand kind of like this, because in my heart, I was holding Christ's hand. I needed to keep me steady so I didn't, when the world was shaking around me. So the first thing is remind yourself you have a God-given right to be in peace, walk in peace, and remind yourself that God loves you. He loves you, and he's with you, and somehow on earth, he's going to work it for your good. Somehow, even with all the crazy stuff that's going on with my house right now, I was talking to my husband this morning, and I said, yeah, now they're saying they're going to need to tear up our Saltillo tile in the kitchen, because as things have dried out, that tile has shifted and we've got some cracks. I can't even go there yet because I get my new floor in the living room tomorrow, and think of it being not fixed, and they've given it plenty of time. They've been fabulous. But we have to still our hearts and remind. I told Stephen today, I said, somehow God's working this for our good, because I know he is. And whether it's because we're going to have better resale value on the house and it's getting all spruced up or whatever, I don't know how, but I will one day. I'll know, and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because I've seen him do that and redeem situations time and time again. And here's the cool thing with peace. As you practice this, confidence comes in. And that confidence in, as that confidence comes in, then we're able to have, handle other situations. And all those situations with my mom, and then my dad got sick 6 weeks after my husband died. My dad was in Texan Heart Hospital with a 90% blockage. And I remember thinking, oh my word, how I was barely over what, you know, what else I was dealing with. But it was in those places that I learned to still my heart and my soul. And so when my grandson came, and he was 5 weeks early, and he was diagnosed, we had an unexpected diagnosis when he was born. My son called my husband, and he said, "Stephen, I really need my mom. I know this is your busiest season of work, and I know she helps you, but I need my mom here at the hospital. Laura's had a C-section. Somebody has to be with the baby. Somebody has to take care of Collins." He said, "I'm working on something." He works in, he's a naval officer, and he works in military intelligence, and he had something he could not hand off. And he said, "My mom is good in crisis, and my mom is good in hospitals. Can she fly out here?" And, you know, that was one of the best compliments in a strange way that I could have been given. I thought, okay, that young man has seen, because he's seen his mom walk into other situations. And there was a confidence that came into me because I had experience in establishing peace in my life. And it was interesting because there was another woman I met there that had a baby. She had twins, and she lost one. And her twins were like 23, 24 weeks when they were born, little bitty. And so I asked her, I met her in the lobby. She was telling me her story. I said, "Well, can I come in and pray for your baby?" And she said, "Oh, would you please?" I said, "Okay, oh, tell me what time." She told me. I walked in the room, and this woman looked at me, and she said, She said, "Something just changed in this room." I said, "What?" You know, because I was trying to honor her space and everything. She said, "Something just changed." She said, "There's like a peace in this room that I haven't felt." I can tell you that was the peace of God that was in me, that God allowed me to take into that room where this little baby was fighting for her life. See, God just doesn't want us to establish peace in our hearts. We have it then. As we establish it, we become an atmosphere changer, and we can give it away to others that are around us. The third thing that I realized that helped me establish peace was realizing that fear and anxiety are illegal behaviors for a Christian. Fear and anxiety are illegal behaviors. Jesus left us with peace. And he also said in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind." Fear is not from God. God has given us, he's given us power and love and a sound mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." The more that we can understand how much God loves us and move that from our head. See, I had lots of head knowledge about that. I grew up in church. But when God began to drop that into my heart, and I began to have an experience of understanding that his love in my heart, there was a security that came. Peace and trust, this scripture we see, go hand in hand. They're connected. They're directly related. And again, it's our relationship with God that is so key in helping us combat when fear tries to come and rob us. Now, there are times when God may speak to you and say, get out of this situation. It's a time of protection. He's not showing you something to bring fear into your heart. He's showing you a way of escape. And those times come. I know that I've dealt with women in my work where they've been in abusive situations, and there are times they need to flee, and they need to flee now. And that's the voice, I think, of the Lord saying, get out. Get out of this situation. You know, I battled some fear as a widow when I was first widowed. And grief can confuse you. It can make you, things that normally you can handle on a daily basis are difficult to handle. And I felt like my life was out of control in a lot of ways. And I think having to look at death straight on, I realized that none of us are really in control of anything. It just makes us come. Something like that makes you come face to face with it. But I had to tell fear and anxiety to go because they were not my friends. Fear and anxiety are not your friends. And it can be as simple. I'm not talking about a complicated prayer. I'm talking about when I would realize fear and anxiety and my heart would start beating. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to handle this? What about this? What about this? I don't know about this. You know, and those things when you've had a sudden jolt in your life for whatever reason. And change, you know, comes in a quick pace. Those are times when we can step back. Step back. And we have to tell fear. I would literally say, fear, go. You're not my friend. I'm not going to listen to you. And there's something about speaking that into, you know, you may have to go in. You may not have any place alone at your house. You may have to go into your bathroom. You know, but there's something about speaking that out. And shifting our trust to the Lord and reminding ourselves that we don't have to do that. And I would remind myself, okay, wait a minute. Okay, fear, go, you're not my friend. God loves me. He is with me. And I know as a widow, I am near and dear to the heart of God. There is scripture after scripture about how near and dear to the heart of God widows are and widowers. They're dear because God cares about those that have a broken heart. And see, scripture shows us in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. So whenever there's fear, whenever now fear tries to come back in any situation, I just say a simple prayer too of, Lord, I just need a fresh revelation of your love for me. I'm just feeling a little anxious about this. I need a fresh revelation of your love for me. And God reveals his love, his great love to us. And it says, because it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. It says it right there in the Bible. So I challenge you, as you find yourself and little anxiety cries to creep in, just remind yourself and ask God for a fresh revelation of his love. Isaiah 32, verse 17 tells us, it says, the work of righteousness, and righteousness means doing the right thing. You know, there's peace that comes to your heart when you do the right thing. You know, have you ever walked away and it was tough? But by golly, you did it and you made the right decision and you feel a peace. It says, Isaiah 32, 17, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be assurance forever. Doing the next right thing will bring peace to your life. And sometimes I have to ask God, what is the next right thing? What's the right thing I need to do next? When you look at all the things you need to do, sometimes it's like a C. But when you say, God, what is the next right thing I need to do? He will show you. But sometimes our hearts can be uneasy because we haven't done the right thing. Has that ever happened to you? I know it has to me. And I'm trying to rationalize it was really okay. And the God saying, no, no, you need to make it right. You need to do what's right. So I know that, you know, there are times when life is just, it can be super busy and super crazy, and you go from one thing to the next. And it's in those times that we can walk hand in hand with the Lord and just ask Him to be our peace. And it doesn't always have to be something major. We had last, from December of 2018 to December of 2018 to August, we had 3 of our 5 kids get married. Now, you talk about going from one thing to the next and trying to remember, have I done this or this? Do I have this done? Have I gotten this? I mean, and you're trying to live your regular life, you know? It's just, sometimes it happens on a fast pace, but what we have to do is let our peace affect our worry. Let your peace affect your worry. And let that peace rise up in you and evict anxiety. See, it says the fruit in Isaiah 32:17, we just read that one, but the fruit of righteousness is peace. Is peace. And the next thing is keep practicing. Peace and practicing your peace and establishing it. Anything you learn takes practice. There are very few things that we usually just, establish it. It's nailed in the ground the first time. I mean, even little kids riding a bike, how many times did they fall off? Learning to walk, how many times did they fall? I just was keeping grandkids this weekend and have a 17-month-old. And, you know, I mean, she's falling down because she's learning to walk. She's learning to do things. And anything in life, and it's that way with the Lord, you know, He's not an evil taskmaster. He's not saying, okay, you read the scripture, why didn't you do it? I don't really think that's His heart. He's like, okay, you fell down. Let me get you back up. Let's get back up on your feet and get back in the game. Practice it again. Practice it tomorrow. Practice it the next day. Practice, practice, practice. And in that practice, then we can learn what the voice of peace sounds like. I had a trip planned to Pittsburgh. The editor of my book is in that area, and I also have a friend that lives in that area. And I was planning to go up and see her and kill 2 birds with 1 stone, meet the team that's going to be working on my book. And I thought, okay, I can do this. And I had that injury to my hamstring, tore my hamstring off the bone and deep. And I had the trip planned. I was about a week out. And I woke up one morning, was having my quiet time, and I was praying about the trip. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel peace about it. And I started trying to, in my mind, rationalize the peace, you know, why I didn't feel peace. And, yeah, but I can do it, da-da-da-da-da. I prayed about it, and I just didn't feel peace. And I didn't feel peace. And I learned to listen to the voice of peace. And I called my friend, and I said, you know, I am not feeling peaceful about this trip. And I said, I think what's bothering me is I know there's lots of ice up there, and it's cold. This was in December. And I said, I am just not feeling like I should come, because I know that there's a chance I might have to jerk to catch myself, and I just don't think this is the time. And as much as I hated to do that, I didn't feel peace about it. About 2 weeks ago, I was walking through the parking lot here, and they've told me this is an injury that's going to take a while to heal. You can do some things, but not all things. Anything sudden, you can't do, and you've got to be very careful. I was walking across the parking lot there by the UPS store, and slipped on like an oily spot there, and all of a sudden, I had to kind of go like this, And I could tell this hamstring is better, but it's not healed. And all I could think of after that was, thank you, God, I didn't go up there where I was going to be on ice. You know, we have to learn to listen to that small, still voice of peace in our heart and let peace rule. We have to keep practicing it. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it to practice, and the peace of God will be with you. And Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In other words, let it rule. Let it be the final say. Let it rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. And then as we establish that peace, we get to give it to the person next to us, to our coworkers, to our children, to our friends. See, experiences that you go through when you partner with God and look to Him, He's going to use you. So take care of your heart. Establish peace. Don't tolerate fear and anxiety. Evict them. Tell them to go. And practice your peace. As we close tonight, I'd just like to lead you in a prayer. And if you want to pray this, I'd like for us to all stand up. And I would like for us to just pray, just if everyone could just close your eyes and turn your heart towards the Lord. And just repeat after me. If your heart's desire is to walk in peace and to establish it in your life, say, God, I come to you.
God, I come to you.
And I give you my life.
Give my life.
I give you my plans.
Give you my plans.
And I ask you to order my steps. And give me divine appointments along the way.
Give me divine appointments along the way.
God, I ask you to solidify,
God, I ask you to solidify
peace in my heart.
Peace in my heart.
I declare,
I declare
I have a God-given right.
Right.
To walk in peace,
walk in peace.
In any situation.
In any situation.
You did not give me fear.
You did not give me fear.
You've given me peace.
You've given me peace.
God, I realize,
God, I realize
that fear and anxiety,
that fear and anxiety
are illegal behaviors.
Legal behaviors.
For a Christian.
For a Christian.
Jesus left us with peace.
Jesus left us with peace.
God, I declare I want to establish peace.
God, I declare I want to establish peace.
And I evict fear and anxiety,
and I evict fear and anxiety
from my life.
From my life.
They are not my friends.
They are not my friends.
I ask for a fresh revelation.
I ask for a fresh revelation
of your love for me.
Of your love for me.
And God, I commit,
God, I commit
to you,
to you,
that I will open the gift of peace,
the gift of peace
that Jesus gave me.
That Jesus gave me.
And I will keep practicing,
I will keep practicing
my peace,
my peace
to establish it in my life.
To establish it in my life.
And Father,
Father,
in the days ahead, give me opportunities,
give me opportunities
to give that peace away.
To give that peace away.
Thank you, God, for your love.
Thank you, God, for your love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just speak your blessing over each one listening. Father, I just pray for just encounter after encounter with you, that each one of us, Lord, would just see your hand upon our day. Father, when plans don't go as things don't go as we've planned, Lord, help us to remember that you're with us and that you are a God that will work it together for our good. And I just speak your peace, your love, and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening to us today, and I hope you enjoyed the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. I want to give a shout out to a few people that have helped make this podcast possible. Laura Jane Elder, Mary Mitchelstein, Lori Milton, Colin Melissa Johnson, Lisa Davis, and Linda Force. I appreciate their support. If you like this podcast, I'd like for you to consider becoming a patron. Your donations can keep them coming and are appreciated to help us cover cost. To give, simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him and to share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened as they listen. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can support the ministry. Also, if you enjoyed today's lesson, click the like button or leave a comment. I love hearing from my listeners, and your likes and comments help others and help spread the word of this podcast. Check us out, too, on Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Thanks again for joining us today. Live recordings of The Gathering are Tuesdays beginning January the 28th at the Kroc Center in Kerrville at 6:30 p.m. I hope that you'll join us live sometime if you're in the area and come and see the awesome team that helps me facilitate these lessons. Thanks for listening and have a great day.